Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Belinda Davids is a recent chart-topping artist who has performed alongside the likes of Kerry Hilson, Keisha Cole, and featured on Fox TV, Showtime at the Apollo, Britain's Got Talent, and BBC One TV's Even Better Than the Real Thing. Belinda's show, The Greatest Love of All, is an acclaimed tribute show described as mind-blowingly spot-on. Critics and fans the world over hail the show as an entertainment spectacle. The vocal prowess of Belinda Davids continues to wow audiences across the world, including the USA, UK, Europe, Middle East, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, and of course, South Africa. Belinda Davids was invited to audition at the Got Talent All-Stars competition held in Spain in 2023, featuring acts from shows such as America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent. Joining us for a second time and live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast in Johannesburg, South Africa, up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Belinda Davids. And I'm with Belinda Davids.
Again. It's good to be here. It's actually good to be in studio with you.
Yes.
I remember the last time we did a Zoom, didn't we?
Yes, you were in Cape Town. Yeah. I was in Joburg, yes.
Yeah. Good to be here. Love the setup.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. So what's been happening?
I've only been traveling. I think I fell asleep in the car because I've just not been nodding off. Tired, a little bit tired because I was in America about a week ago. We got back not too long ago. And before that, I was in Spain. And before that, I was in Australia. And before that, I was, I'm not sure. I don't know where I was. I don't know what day. What day is it today? What day? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
So, Belinda, for the listeners who do not know,
yeah,
tell us about The Greatest Love of All.
The Greatest Love of All is a, it's a labor of love. That's what it is. For me, at least. I don't know how I've been doing, no, I know how I've been doing it for 11 years because it's a labor of love. The Greatest Love of All is a concert, is a musical concert of, and a celebration of Whitney Houston's music from the beginning of her career right up until the end of her career. We have costume changes. We have a full live band. And we have me, the front of the show, steering, leading. And what an honor it is still after 11 years to be doing it.
So how often do you change the show up?
We try to change it all the time. You know, we try to up our game all the time. You know, depending on where we are going, especially now that we are going to France in November, mm-hmm. That's the next location we are going to. We are doing a full tour in France. So we have to up our game for that because it's new territory. It's now a new, we want people to see, we've been there before, okay. But now we want people to see it for really for what it is. So I think we're going to step up the game a little bit more. We're going to Brazil after that. We're going to Chile after that. We're doing a short tour in Brazil. And I think, we might have to change it again, you know, change, sort of swap out songs, change costume, because this is now, again, new territory. So we have to bring out, put our best foot forward at all times if we want to go back. Yeah.
Do you ever look at what songs of hers were popular in that country in order to put that in your repertoire?
I think we have to. Million Dollar Bill don't go so well in America, for instance, even though Whitney Houston is from there. It doesn't go well there, but it goes really well in the UK. So when we go to the UK, we have to do that song. It makes people go mad. I've noticed every time.
And how do you keep your energy up traveling all around the world?
A lot of pre-workout. A lot of pre-workout because, you know, if you want to do double shows on a day, it's exhausting on my body, on my voice. And I want to do something natural, you know, instead of taking crap, I do a pre-workout, maybe even a Red Bull.
So do you sometimes do two shows in a day?
Yeah, I'm doing two shows this time. Okay. We're doing four shows in 3 days. Wow. So we're doing the 23rd. On the 24th, we have two shows. We have one at 2 o'clock, I believe, and one at 8 o'clock. So challenge every time.
It's a hectic routine, hectic traveling. Yeah. How do you maintain your, you said pre-workout, yeah, but how do you get yourself outside of Whitney Houston to know who you are?
I try to stay healthy.
Okay.
I try my best to stay healthy. I'm naughty sometimes, but I try my best to stay healthy. You know, I have to do my vocal warm-ups. I have to watch what I eat. I don't eat before the show, or at least I don't eat a lot before the show. I eat after the show. It's a lot of things that I have to do, but mainly staying healthy.
And how has Britain's Got Talent, Spain's Got Talent opened doors for you around the world?
It didn't.
Didn't?
No, it didn't. It didn't open up doors for me. I think it was a great exposure.
Okay.
I think the show was successful before BGT. You know, I think it was mainly to expose that we are doing this amazing show. Did it fill out arenas? Yeah, definitely. You know, more people came to see the show because of BGT and because of Spain's Got Talent.
So for the listeners who do not know what a talent show is, explain it to us.
A talent show is when you audition to a massive show and you stand in line for hours on end and you hope to go through to the finals. And then when you eventually do, there's also that process of going, you know, to the finals. Now you have to pick out a dress and you have to pick out the right songs and you have vocal coaches, but it's a lot of work. No matter what you do in this industry, it's a lot of work. You know, whether you have to do a show like The Greatest Love of All, I had to train before I had to come and do the show. I had to build up an audience in order for the show to be successful. I had to make sure that I have a disciplined routine. It's all a part of the music industry. You know, you can't just walk in and go, oh, hey, listen, let me just go talk to the producers over there and see if they can get me to go in front of Simon. No, you have to put in the work.
So when you said you had to train, what do you mean by that?
For this show, I had to really dig into what Whitney Houston's life was about, what music fits would be perfect for the show, because we had to pick the perfect hit for the show. Whitney Houston's got so many hits and we can swap it in and swap it out, but we have stuck to these songs, specific songs that would work for any tour. And it did, and it still works. And sometimes we take out songs and sometimes we put that song back in because that song worked better here or there or there. I really dug into the type of person that she was, more of a performance. Someone said to me one day that if you want to really see more of a person or of an artist, no sound, just watch. And you will see more. And that was a part of the process, you know. And besides the fact that I had to get vocally strong, I think I'm more vocally strong now than I was 10 years ago.
What do you have to do to become vocally strong?
Practice.
Practice.
Practice all the time. You have to practice. You have to. I'm at the point now, the team, we are at the point now where we just go on stage and we go, okay, let's run this quickly. You know, we don't even really rehearse anymore. We just refresh our minds. And it's probably because we've been doing these songs for 10 years. But practice is key. If you want to get strong vocally, if you want to get strong confidently, then you have to practice.
So a lot of my posts on YouTube have recognized you as carrying Whitney's legacy.
Yeah.
So how does that feel for you?
Flattering, but it's a, you know, as a lot of people say to me, God, you're the closest thing to Whitney. I don't think I am. I think there's, you know, a lot of other artists that probably sing just as good. You know, I just managed to, capture her nuances more than other people, you know? Yeah.
So when we last spoke, you spoke about your own original music. Mm-hmm. Where were we with that?
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there. You know, I'm looking, I want to co-write. I'm getting there. Everyone just has to give me time. I need time. It's not easy. It's not easy when you are doing this show and you are doing the persona of someone else and not your own. It's extremely difficult. So I said, if I'm going to release anything that's remotely my own creation, I have to step away from the show. Yeah.
So how do you separate Belinda from the Whitney persona?
How do I separate Belinda from the Whitney persona? You know, I've been trying to figure that out for a long time because I've been doing Whitney Houston for such a long time. I think you will have to find out as soon as I leave the show. You will see. I went into the studio and I wrote the song in, I think, 2 days or something. And we recorded it and I was so happy with it because I didn't hear Whitney in it. I heard more me in it. So yeah, it's gonna, how do I separate the two? You know how I separate the two? I take off the hair, I take off the makeup, I put on my apron and I get in my kitchen and I cook. That's the best way for me to separate stage, Whitney Houston, the greatest love of all show, from Belinda.
So for the listeners who have not seen it, what can you tell us about the show?
It's a labor of love. It's a musical concert. It's the way she was on stage. It's incredible show to look at. You know, we don't have the most beautiful set in the world, but visually, it's so beautiful to look at. And I saw it. I've never seen the show. But no, really, I haven't really seen the show. But what I've seen, I was like, okay, well, I don't really have to see it, do I? Because it's beautiful to watch. It's beautiful to listen to. We have just incredible musicians. Local musicians we have, all local musicians. And I'm proud to be able to even hold the Nippy fan up, you know, the flag, the Nippy flag, to hold that up. And I'll probably do it for as long as I can. You know, you have to have a deep sense of love for this kind of thing, this kind of tribute that you do. You know, you can't just willy-nilly do a tribute. I mean, I know someone that is an incredible Led Zeppelin singer, Robert Plant. I mean, he's incredible. But you have to have a deep sense of love for the artist if you're going to take it on. And he does that, and I do that.
When you've seen yourself through whatever clips, or you mentioned you haven't seen the full show, are you hard on yourself when you observe yourself?
Have to be. I'm my own worst critic. You know, I hear, sometimes my voice gets tired after 10, doing 7 in a row or doing 10 in a row, you know. And when it gets to number 7, I go, those notes are not coming out today. They are not coming out today. And when I look at it, I go, that was so, for me, that was so bad. For everyone else, they go, my God, you sounded amazing. Are you kidding me? What show were you watching? You were definitely not watching the show that I was watching. So I'm my own worst critic.
So how do you take that critic and shut it up?
I look at my fiance.
Okay.
And I look at my kids. And he always, like, he motivates me and he inspires me. And he goes, oh my God, you were amazing. I mean, I could hear that you were a little bit tired, but you were amazing, you know? And so that shuts me up a little bit. It's like, okay, I'm okay. My kids don't care. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that they don't care. It shuts me up. It's like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. Just go out there and do your best.
It's interesting because I'm very hard on myself as well. Yeah. When I make a mistake or do something I perceive as wrong, I go over it and over it and over and over it.
Me too.
And it's only in my mind.
So, but what shuts you up?
A few days of stewing and then asking a bunch of people for advice and then shutting myself up.
Yeah.
You know what I believe? As kids, we always told, put clothes on. You know, in Western society, cover up. You know, it's dirty, it's ugly. So as adults, we've grown up into this belief that we need to look at ourselves and look at the worst things or things that we believe are not good in ourselves.
See, I try my best not to listen to society. Society will bloody kill you, man. If you listen to society all the time, like I try to tell my kids, live your life, make your own rules, you know, be respectful, be mindful, be sympathetic, or empathetic. But live by your own rules. Don't listen to what people are telling you. I have a 12-year-old. He comes to me all the time. This person did that and this person says that and this person. But he's growing. He will get out of it. I know for sure.
Social media.
People. Society. Sorry, society, not social media. Society.
So, but social media perpetuates it, surely.
Social media is society.
Well, a filtered version of it.
A filtered version of it, yeah.
We discussed previously about social media that you don't really enjoy it.
No, I don't. I still don't.
So, are there any days you just feel like saying, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing posts. I'm not clicking. I'm not liking. I'm not.
Yeah. And then I get a message and they go, you have to post something. Why? I don't have to. People need to see and they need to interact and they want to interact. Okay.
So when you've met a person in real life that has been following you on social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, how, and they believe they know you. So there's that thing that, oh, Belinda's my friend because they've seen you on social media, but they don't know you. How do you interact with those type of people?
It doesn't take much to be kind.
Okay.
It's just who I am. I don't look at them and go, oh, you are one of my super fans.
Yes.
I don't look at them like that. I look at them as a person. And I look at them as that person that needed for me to sing this music to them and make them forget just for 2 hours. You understand? I don't look at them as, oh, you're a super fan. Oh, I'm scared. You can't. Oh, don't touch me. No, that's not how, you know, that's not how it works. I'm a person. If you meet me, great. If you don't, great. If I meet you, great. Doesn't mean we're going to sit and have coffee and have dinner and then discuss my private life with you. Exactly. That's not what's going to happen. But you treat them like you would any other person.
So you know my perception is.
What is your perception?
Everyone uses two-ply toilet paper. So the same way I interact with you is the same way I interact with Bronwyn, the same way I interact with the lady at the Checkers counter.
Right?
Because we all use two-ply. There's no gold-plated toilet paper.
Exactly.
So.
I like that. You see.
It always concretize me into equality because there's no labels.
But it's not even a matter of equality. It's just, why do we need to feel like we are superior to someone else? Why? Why do we need to do that? You know, you do something that I cannot do.
Yeah.
I'm doing something that you cannot do. And I will not mess with what you have to. I will not question your ability and you cannot question my ability.
You see, the thing is that the people who are not in the industry, they put famous people separate to them. They think they, you know, on a different level.
They put them on a pedestal.
Exactly.
When we are, I don't even want to be on that pedestal.
Yeah.
You put me there. I don't want to be there. I'm just a normal person. Just a normal girl who loves to cook, who's a mom first, who loves to sit on her couch and loves to cuddle with her man. And
yeah.
That's what I am. God, I just gave away a lot. Don't use that.
And you use two-ply.
And I like it soft.
That's funny. So your three favorite Whitney Houston songs.
Oh, three?
Yeah.
My
okay,
God,
let's make it five. Let's make it five.
Five! He went to five. There's no such thing. You know there's no such thing. If you ask me what's my favorite song in the show, I'm moody. I'm very moody. I, you know, one day it's one moment in time. The next day it's Didn't We Almost Have It All? Then it's the greatest love of all. And depending on what emotion I carry that day, it might be I Will Always Love You. But I always find myself going to my favorite album, which is Baby Tonight. I'm Your Baby Tonight. I go to that album and I listen to Lover for Life. I listen to I'm Your Baby Tonight. I listen to Lonely Talking, songs that's not even on the show.
Yeah.
And I listen to that and it just makes me feel some kind of way. You know, it makes me feel like then I really miss her, you know, and that becomes my favorite song of the day. It's hard to say there.
So you said you're moody. So when you're in a specific emotional mood and a song in the repertoire is not aligned to that.
Yes.
How do you get yourself to align to that song?
I always align to every song that I sing in the show. If you're asking me about a separate song that's outside, well, you know what? I have to go to that song to make that emotion, to wake that emotion up. But I'm always aligned with every song that I sing in the show. You know, there's some songs when I go, oh my God, this song is just going on forever today. You know, but that's because I'm moody. And I'm okay with it.
What is your definition of moody?
Moody means 1 minute you're like this, 1 minute you're... You want to cry and the next minute you're just angry and then the next minute you want to laugh and then, you know, and then the next minute you just feel unsafe and that's moody, you know, and that comes across sometimes and you use it on people that are the closest to you.
Okay.
And it's sad.
So don't, projection.
Don't ever do that projection. It's an emotion.
5 songs by other artists. Not Whitney Houston.
Okay.
Top of mind.
Yeah.
Not favorite.
If not you, favorite.
Not favorite.
Okay, just top of mind.
Yeah, but there are millions of them. I understand that.
Okay.
That you had to push play to.
Oof. I find myself going to Victoria Monet lately a lot. I find myself going to Money Long a lot. I'm going to Yeba is my go-to every time. If I have to pick a song. Okay. Victoria Monet. What's the song called about my mama? I put it on mama. Look. That song is that playing time. In my head all the time. And then when I go to Money Long, first single that came out, that is like old R&B and just bringing that back. Yeba has done it every time, every single time. Yeba I listen to when I travel. I want to listen to Yeba because she's calming. It's just good sounds in my ears and her vocals are amazing. I find myself going to Beyonce, but old Beyonce, not new Beyonce.
Okay.
This new Beyonce is confusing to me.
Okay.
She confuses me. I don't think she's knows what she wants.
Okay.
Five songs. I'm just going to come out with 5 artists. I think Lucky Day is doing really good right now. I love Lucky Day. And then I'm not sure about Ariana Grande. I used to be a fan. I'm a fan of her old stuff. Not so much a fan of her new stuff.
There's this nostalgia happening at the moment. Like you have these 90s festivals, these 80s festivals, all that kind of stuff related to music back then.
Yeah.
Why do you think, and it's not the older people, it's also the younger kids. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that nostalgia is happening at the moment?
Because we miss it. Because everybody misses it. Think about it. Think about what music is out there today. I mean, in South Africa, it's a completely different genre. We have amapiano. We have kwaito. We have gom. We have that going on for us. But that's just here. I think everyone overseas are sort of bringing back the 90s feel, you know, like The Weeknd has already, inspired that road. Bruno Mars has sort of inspired that road, you know, so I think we just miss really good music. We just miss it. We miss the 90s and we miss the 80s.
Okay, so I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month.
Do you really?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and cassettes are on a massive comeback.
What?
Yes, last year.
Do you mean?
Last year, 5.9 million vinyl sales in the UK, biggest since 1990.
My God.
And also they have, in the UK, they've got a basket of products where they gauge tax. Vinyls have been in that basket for the longest time. And because of the upsurge of CDs, they are now back in the basket. But we've also got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Amazing! That is coming back, first of all. I am so happy about that. Now I have to go buy a CD player again. Oh my God. And I have to get a vinyl player. Oh my happiness. This makes me happy that is coming back. You know, we can enjoy music the way we did back in the day. You know, we don't have to go to iTunes and Spotify and the commercials on Spotify. And, premium. I have to get premium on. It's too much. I really enjoy the activity of going into a basket full of vinyls, pulling something out and putting it on. I'm getting chills. It's such a satisfying activity to do.
And it's a full-on experience.
It's a full-on experience.
So I was living overseas, and I wanted to get a new CD player last year.
Yeah.
And everyone said to me, there's no ways you can get a CD player anywhere. So I went on to Takealot. I thought, I was hoping for one option. And they had 50 to 60 different options. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down again.
Yeah.
So I got my CD player, and the same song, listening to it on the CD compared to listening to it on Spotify on the same system is like
mind-blowing.
Exactly.
The difference, the clarity.
Exactly.
It's different.
And for the people who never experience that, shame on them.
Shame on them. Especially this generation.
Yeah.
This generation will never experience that. I am going to buy myself a vinyl player.
But actually, the research is showing that it's all the younger kids that are actually buying it. The teenagers.
Really?
That's what the research is showing. Yeah. Teenagers and early 20s. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Bring on the sound system.
Bring it on. So, Belinda, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Love. That's what I want to say. Everything around us is connected to love. And if you can take 1 minute or 2 minutes to just put on a CD or a vinyl, if you can just take a minute just to forget that all the crap that's happening in the world today, if you can just take it and use it and forget and just be engulfed in what music can do in this world, because music brings people together through love.
Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.